Epic Mind. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PNP Network, and special guest Mark Lindsay on the line with us. Mark, of course, the lead singer for the fabulous Paul Revere and the Raiders, and I was looking through my record collection and have pretty much everything they ever did.
Well, then you got quite an extensive collection.
I do, but you know, you got some huge successes on the album side with albums like Just Like Us and Midnight Ride and The Spirit of 67.
Yeah, we were very lucky. We had, I think we got four gold albums that all kind of accrued in a year and a half period. And as far as I know, we were the first, we gave Columbia Records the first rock and roll gold they'd ever had.
Well, you guys were the first rock band they signed, I think, weren't you?
I believe so, yeah.
Because they were doing the Tony Bennett's and the Barbra Streisand's of the world and things like that.
Yep, Doris Day and the Percy Faith and let's not forget... Mitch Miller.
Mitch Miller. He was actually wasn't he the guy in charge?
He was head of West Coast A&R at the time.
Exactly. Did he sign you guys?
Under protest. he thought rock and roll was a passing fad, but he'd gotten some pressure from I guess the East Coast, and someone told him that Capitol was doing great with a group called the Beach Boys, and a lot of independents were having rock and roll hits, and so they said you. Sign a rock act, and apparently he told one of his reps that if he'd give him a $100 bonus to it, the first guy that signed a viable rock act.
That's interesting. I obviously, for folks out there who are fans of Paul Revere and the Raiders, we actually all know the story of how it came about, because there was a song called Legend of Paul Revere that pretty much told the story about the band.
That's true. In between the lines and the lyrics is pretty much the story of the group. I'm not sure it covers the recording of Louie Louie in an obscure Portland studio for the sum of $57. But on the strength of that record, we got signed to CBS.
Now, everybody at the time was doing Louie Louie.
Yes, as a matter of fact, the Kingsmen, who later on had the huge hit, recorded Louie Louie in the very same studio within 3 days of our recording.
Wow.
Same studio, same engineer, same microphone.
And you guys even did a follow-up song called Louie Go Home.
This is true. We just thought there was a lot of Louie magic in the air, and so we although the Louie Go Home has nothing to do with the feel or sound of Louie Louie, but I guess they share the same part of the same title.
Well, why not, right? Well, if it works, it works, right?
There you go.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned the name Doris Day a few moments ago, and your actual producer, if I'm not mistaken, was her son Terry Melcher.
That's true. Terry Melcher and I, he was the first guy that I met at CBS Records, other than the guys wearing suits, and someone said, well, take you down and introduce you to your producer, and I remember walking out of this hall and hearing this huge pounding sound coming through the door, and they opened the door to Studio A, and here Terry was playing back at full volume, which in CBS Studio A was pretty loud, Hey Little Cobra, and Bruce Johnston was out in the studio with a wastebasket over his head going, shut him down. He had a microphone inside the wastebasket with his head to get that resonance.
Bruce, of course, later went out to the Beach Boys.
Yes, and of course Bruce and Terry, that would be Terry Melcher and Bruce Johnston, also did a lot of the Ripcords recording. I don't think the actual band was on Hey Little Cobra. I think it was mainly Bruce and Terry. But he's the first guy I met at CBS, and later on we ended up sharing a house together and writing a lot of tunes together.
And if you were talking about people who were influential on Paul Revere and the Raiders, in addition to Terry Melcher, you had to mention the world's youngest or oldest teenager, Dick Clark.
Oh, absolutely. We're not sure. I think Dick. I don't think he has an age. I think he just always was and always will be. But no, he signed us to a television show called Where the Action Is. It was on 5 days a week, and it was very much like exposure on MTV today. The whole country got to see us at once, and thank goodness they liked us, and that exposure was pretty much a springboard for the Raiders' success.
It's interesting because that debuted 35 years ago, and it seems like yesterday.
How many years ago?
It was 1965. Isn't that amazing?
When did Bandstand start?
Bandstand started before that. That started in the early 60s.
Hold on a second. Hello, I'm doing an interview. Sorry. Deb is doing a deposition on the phone. I'll come over later. Thanks. Sorry.
Oh, that was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, sorry about that.
So, now, Parker and the Raiders just started pretty much recording around that time, and you guys had your first recording after the Louie Louie and the Louie Go Home and all that stuff, after the show, was Steppin' Out, wasn't it?
Yes. It was. I think we might have recorded it shortly, either before the show started or shortly thereafter, but it was the first release that was, first record that was released while we were on the show, and of course it immediately took off. It was a huge success.
Yeah, it started out a big string of hits. But it's interesting, I just noticed, my producer just shoved that in front of my face, that was recorded 5 days after the first Where the Action Is.
Ah.
Where the Action Is premiered June 28th, and that was recorded in early July, 5 days later.
Well, you've got the information under your thumb there.
I do.
I think by the it probably came out during the first 13-week period of Action.
Yeah.
And probably started making enough noise that they re-signed it.
But I mean, you know, they had to. He had Steppin' Out, Just Like Me, Kicks, Hungry, The Great American Airplane, The Great Airplane Strike, and Good Thing, Ups and Downs. You remember, they all came kind of in a row.
Yeah, we were very lucky. We had, I think, about 17 top 40 records. And, of course, a lot of them were top 20 and 10. So we were, you know, I'm not complaining.
Talking about top records, this week, Paul Revere and the Raiders' Greatest Hits, a brand new re-release from Sony Legacy, is now in the stores.
This is true, with some bonus cuts on it.
Yes, it does. And one of the bonus cuts is I'm Not Your Stepping Stone. Sounds familiar?
Yeah, well, that it's very very funny about that song. We cut it as a follow-up to... to Steppin' Out, to Just Like Me, rather.
Yeah.
And Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart had written the song, and we'd cut it, and it was ready to go, and then in the mail, we got this demo from, Terry got the demo from Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil with this song called Kicks, and we heard it and really liked it a lot, so immediately cut that, and it came out so well, Terry decided to hold Steppin' Stone and release Kicks first. And when Tommy and Bobby found out that Stepping Stone wasn't going to be the new release, they took our version of Stepping Stone over to the Monkees and said, "Hey, here's a song we just wrote. What do you think?"
Yeah.
And that's why if you play the Monkees version today, it's pretty much the same arrangement and the same song as the same version that we cut.
And Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote quite a few of the hits, actually.
Oh, they were a very successful writing team. They wrote a lot of stuff for the Monkees and Jay and the Americans. They spread it out quite a bit.
But talking about successful writing teams, you just mentioned Barry Mann, who's going to be a guest on the show Friday.
Oh, well, please be sure and tell him hello. And he and Cynthia wrote Kicks and Hungry, and they've written, I mean, if I started listing all the hits that the man has written, we'd do the rest of the interview with me just naming titles for you.
You're right. I mean, from the Righteous Brothers, three huge hits, to all the other ones he's written.
Oh, on Broadway?
Just amazing.
They've had all these, and it's funny, when they write a song, they don't write a small hit. They always have mega hits.
Oh, yeah. Even one of their last ones, Somewhere Out There, was huge.
Beautiful record.
From An American Tale. Yep. But now you write a lot of songs too. Any of the major hits of yours, songs that you penned?
With Terry, I co-wrote "Good Thing" and "Him or Me" and "Ups and Downs" and "Great Airplane Strike," and I think I did "Let Me" by myself. But Terry and I wrote co-wrote quite a bit of Raiders hits. Yeah.
It's interesting that you mentioned "Let Me" because that's not on here. And I love that song.
That'll probably be on Greatest Hits Volume 2.
Yeah. But I love that song. It was a great one.
Oh yeah, I listened to it just the other day, and it pounds right along.
Oh yeah, that stands right up. That sounds like a new song. You know,
yeah,
it's
well,
too bad.
We're like I say, we've been very lucky. This package that just came out is it has, in addition to the four bonus cuts, it has the original liner notes. If you have to get a magnifying glass, you can that cover. And it's got some new liner notes and a few new pictures and
the original covers on there as well.
Yeah,
because yeah. I actually have the original Greatest Hits album as well as this new one.
Now that's the one where everybody's wearing. Some guys are wearing boots, and one guy's wearing red socks, and the foot gear does not all match up, right?
No, you were wearing black boots, was Paul. I don't know who the guy was with the red shirt and pants.
I think that's Jim Valley. But the photographer said he was going to crop it, you know, at the waist, so don't worry about what you're wearing on the bottom.
Famous last words, huh?
Thank goodness we were all wearing our tights.
Now, do you talk at all to the guys in the group? Do you still friendly with Paul or anybody?
I started. There were quite a few raiders from the very inception of the group to the group that. It was there when Indian Reservation was recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of made it my quest to look up all the guys that I ever played with, everywhere in the group, and, you know, say howdy and thanks. It was great working with you, and let's get together sometime.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been in touch with just about everybody that I can find off and on in the last couple of years.
And you also mentioned Indian Reservation, another song that didn't make this album, but a great song.
Yeah, it was the biggest selling single in the history of CBS Records until Michael Jackson's Billie Jean.
And you still hear it played all the time when there's an Indian type thing happening up, you know. That one and that instrumental Kemosabe. You hear them both.
That's true.
Yeah. But Indian Reservation was a great, I love that song.
Yeah,
and that brings us to your solo career, because I also have in my collection here of singles, Silver Bird, Miss America. You had quite a few hits on your own.
Yeah, and we'll not forget Arizona.
Arizona started
off the trend. It was a lot of people thought that I left the group to pursue a solo career, but actually these single records came out at the same time I was recording with the Raiders. A guy named Jack Gold at CBS thought that I think he was grooming me to be the next Johnny Mathis or Andy Williams or something, although I didn't really see myself that way. I didn't mind singing a ballad once in a while, and we were lucky with him.
Now, once those came out and were successful, did that put pressure on your relationship with the Raiders?
Not really. But as I say, I was still with the group as well as having single successes, so it just gave us more repertoire when we went out.
Yeah.
I had more songs to sing. I was lucky enough to sing every hit the Raiders ever had, and so we just kind of added to the ammunition.
When did you move to Hawaii?
Officially, I guess full-time, more or less full-time, about almost 3 years ago.
How is it like living there rather than the mainland?
Well, it's very nice. It's very, the weather, okay, I'll give a weather report. High of mid 70s to low 80s, and a low in the mid 60s to 70s, and some scattered rain on the coast, and mixed sunshine and some clouds.
Are you talking to someone in Boston? So the weather is usually.
Actually, we do have a place in upstate New York, so we spend part of the time there. So I know about weather.
Yeah.
And you're talking to a kid from the Northwest, so.
I've never been to Hawaii, Mark, but I have been to the Cayman Islands quite a few times. I love that place.
It's probably pretty similar. It's probably pretty similar. My wife grew up in the Buffalo area, so she knows about the Northeast winters.
Your wife Debbie's very nice. I like her.
Yes, yeah,
very pleasant. Very pleasant woman. So you're out here promoting this new Greatest Hits. Now, she had told me she was going to mail me something that you guys did. That was newer, that you were selling at concerts and stuff, but I never received it, so. What was it that she was talking about?
I don't know. Was it,
some kind of rock CD with some other folks.
Oh, I know. It's one with Mitch Ryder and Gary Lewis, that one?
Exactly, yeah. I didn't get it, but actually, well, Mitch Ryder's coming on the show, too.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, so.
Yeah, he'll I will tell Deb and say I'll spank her for you.
Well, she may like that though. So how long have you been married, Mark?
About 11 years. This last summer.
And folks who want to see what Debbie looks like and what Mark looks like, you can go to marklindsay.com. Just type in his name and www. And you'll be able to see all the cool stuff that's happening over there.
The World Wide Web. I keep threatening to put a. We have in the backyard. The view is out over the ocean. And there's about the waterfall.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking of be kind of cool to put stationary camera out there on the waterfall, and people. When it gets cold in the Northeast, you can just pop up the website and go, yeah, I can almost feel it.
Yeah, the waterfall cam.
Yeah. Better than a kitty litter cam.
I guess it is. Now I'm going to actually put a link on my site to yours.
Oh, thank you.
And if you want to put one on yours to ours so that people can hear the interview, that'd be kind of cool, too.
That will, I'll, and your Deb has your website and all that good
stuff. I believe she does. It's pmpnetwork.com.
PNP.
PM, like Peter Mary Paul
Peter
Network.
PMP.
PMPnetwork.com.
Okay. Peter Mary Paul.
Peter Mary Paul.
Got it. And they're still touring, aren't they?
Yes, they are, as a matter of fact. But you know something? They changed the name to Peter Paul and Mary for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Peter Mary Paul just didn't quite
it
fly.
It didn't cut it, I guess.
Didn't roll off the tongue.
Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, great talking with you, and thank you so much for the... the chat, and coming to Boston, we'll go down and do you still have Schrod down there?
Oh yeah, we pronounce it Schrod, but we do have
That's
it.
Schrod.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm thinking of an old girlfriend whose last name was Schrod.
I'm sure you will.
We won't go there.
We have lobsters here and all that kind of stuff. So next time you come down, we'll have lunch together, and you can come and take a tour of our studio.
Absolutely, love to.
And all right,
we'll
Mark.
We'll get that CD off to you.
Okay.
And I'll tell Deb about the website link. And thanks so much.
Hey, no problem, Mark. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Bye bye. It's Mark Lindsay from Palmer View on the Raiders.